God, we give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Good morning. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you live from the studios of Ways of Glory here online at blogtalkradio.com. I am your marketplace apostle this morning, and yet I am your sister in Christ with an awesome assignment of uniting the women of God, prophesying over the daughters of the King, and raising you up on your feet to stand upright, an exceeding great army, to say unto you, stand up, get up, be filled with the Spirit, hold fast, link up your shields of faith, glory to God, and let us go forward together. I don't know if you can tell this morning, but I am excited about the plan of God for his daughters in this last days where the Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us. I'm excited about what God is doing, using whosoever will yield and submit themselves to him. Amen. We're still on the series of the Day of the Woman, and we're talking about the book, Behold, I Show You a Mystery. We're going into a chapter today called A God Kind of Shift. We remember in the book of Acts, as soon as the church was born in the upper room, God began a dimensional shift among the people that crushed their religious doctrine, uprooted some of their traditions, and destroyed false teachings that had kept the people in bondage for hundreds of years. The very fact that the Spirit of the Lord would fill the women who were in the room with the Holy Ghost and fire, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Glory to God. God gave the women license to open their mouths and proclaim, to prophesy. We ended up our session on last Friday talking about old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It is time for the body of Christ to do the shift that God has called us into. We can no longer hold fast to religious doctrine and traditions of man. Neither can we continue to walk in false teeth that are the recommendations of man. We've got to get into the Word of God and likewise into the will of God. We've got to press beyond our own intellect and our carnal mind. We have got to walk according to the Spirit of God. The problem with the doctrine that we spoke about last week of not allowing women to speak in the church solely on the basis of that one verse of scripture in Corinth, to the church at Corinth. Listen, the church was brand new, and the women were asking a lot of questions. They weren't trying to preach the gospel. He was not speaking of them preaching the gospel. He was talking about the chatter that was going on, because before this time, they had not been allowed to even be on the same side of the room with men. When you go to Jerusalem, even at the wall, the praying and wailing wall, the Temple Mount, they are still separated where they can pray. The men go to one side and the women have to go to the other. So they are still stuck in that dimension where in the temple back in the days before the church began, there was a section that was sectioned off for women, and then they were not allowed to go any further. However, when the church was born, they were all together in one place, and they didn't have a church the way we see church now with a great big old building, but they had a gathering, a collective gathering of men and women who are now following the Christ. And women, of course, you know, if you study the Old Testament, that the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So those men who have been studying the Old Testament for years know now the revelation of that testament. However, these women did not know the revelation. Neither did they know the Old Testament. So they're asking questions and causing a bit of chatter going on. What does he mean? What is he saying? What are they talking about? And he said for them to be silent according to the law, which was ceremonial law. It had nothing to do with the law of God saying that women could not preach the gospel, because even in the Old Testament, Joel the prophet prophesied that in the last days that the daughters would begin to prophesy. And when you look up that word prophesy, what does it mean? It means to preach or proclaim. That's why we need to study the Word of God and not just take somebody's opinion. We need to get into the Word, get a Bible dictionary, get a lexicon, get a concordance, and study what these words mean so that you're not confused by the doctrines of man. Glory be to God. So we see through the Holy Spirit, God shifted his church dimensionally, shifted from the way that things were done in the Jewish tradition into the way that things are now going to be done as the body of Christ. The church, per se, has refused to move with God's shift. The mandate of God is much more valid than the recommendations of God. And we like to say, well, God does not change. And I'm in total agreement with you today. God has not changed, but rather the complete plan of God is now being revealed. And when we look at things changing in the church world, we try to say that God is, that the people, the women per se, are trying to change God. But it's not that God has changed. He's always had us in mind before the foundation of the world. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, the lamb was slain, and God knew he was going to have to use a woman. I have to keep bringing that home to you. But little by little, the complete plan of God for the world is being revealed. And at this end day, in the last days, it is the woman of God that is coming forth as God himself has ordained. This is your season. This is your time. This is your dispensation. This is the God kind of shift. We're looking at that particular chapter in the book, Behold, I Show You a Mystery. And we talked a little bit about it before, how a man appeared unto Paul saying, come on over to Macedonia and help us. And Paul, being led by the Spirit, being a spiritual man, knew that it was a vision from God, did everything he could to make haste and get on over to Macedonia to help that man and the church. But when he arrived, what did he find? A bunch of women meeting down by the river where prayer was wont to be made. There were no men involved. It was a group of women who were praying and calling on the name of God to help for some help, to cause the church to expand and to grow. In verse 13 of the same chapter, it says, he sat down and spoke to the women which resorted there. In other words, he did not dismiss them because they were a group of women. He didn't sit, stand around and say, well, where's the man that I saw in my vision? But he recognized the plan of God to shift, and he sat down with those women and began to speak or to teach the word of the Lord. It was then that the woman Lydia, who was a wealthy woman, offered him her home. There was no man there to offer him any type of solace, but she offered him her home where he could skillfully and spiritually cause the church to grow and to come into being. So why then would God think it necessary to show Paul, a man, calling him into Macedonia? Why do you think that was? Because God understood that this young man had been taught under the greatest Pharisees of the time. He'd been taught by Gamaliel. He had sat at the feet of the greatest theologians of the era, and he was indoctrinated with the teachings of these men. So God, instead of wrestling with Paul in a vision, he simply showed him a man. And Paul responded just like God knew that he would, and he went to Macedonia and found no man there but women. Recognizing the plan of God, he sat down and began to do that which God had called him to do. That was a part of the dimensional shift. Paul's customs and culture could have distorted his response to the answer to the call of God, to answer to the call, had God not put a man in the vision. So God, in his wisdom, put a man there. God also used Paul to acknowledge the presence of women in the ministry in many cases. In Acts 17, verses 12 and verse 34, we see Damaris, that he acknowledges her. In Acts 18:2, he talks about Aquila and Priscilla. He mentions Priscilla, amen, there as a part of the ministry team. Paul even notes that in the instruction of Apollos to bring Apollos to a greater understanding of the way of God in Acts 18:26, he includes the fact that Priscilla was included in the instruction of Apollos to bring him into right understanding. My God, the Word of God is filled with the dimensional shift that God has made concerning women. Paul and his company in Acts 18, excuse me, in the book of Acts still, Paul and his company entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist. Philip was one of the original seven deacons. So Paul went to his house and stayed with him. But the scripture tells us, that's Acts 21, verses 8 through 9, that this man, Philip the deacon, had four daughters who did prophesy. Four daughters who were virgins who did prophesy, which means that word again means what? To preach or rather proclaim. That's Acts 21, verse 8 and 9. This is the beginning life of the church of the living God. We are not moving according to the recommendations of man, but we are going back into church history and seeing how God is bringing women to the forefront, even at that time, because you could only prophesy as the Spirit gave utterance. It was the Holy Ghost doing the talking, not the women. Just as with us today, when we prophesy, it is not the woman or the man that speaks. It is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost doesn't have a gender. He is Spirit. Amen. Though we refer to him as he, because we refer to God as he. Amen. But that does not limit him from entering into a vessel that's a she. Amen. I just can't stress it enough today, because once you get the revelation of who you are in God and that it doesn't matter what your gender is, that nothing, circumcision nor uncircumcision, bond or slave or free, none of that matters when it comes to the word and the will of God. So when they gave prophetic utterance, that was more than enough to warrant mentioning them in the scriptures. Why do you think God is starting to mention women and them preaching and prophesying? God was revealing a God kind of shift the whole time. Another kind of dimensional shift is when God called the Apostle Paul to preach to the Gentiles. Now, if you study your scripture, you know that it was not customary for Jews and Gentiles to mix. And now God has filled this man with the Holy Ghost, called him into the ministry, is using him mightily among the Jews. And once he has been totally rejected by the Jewish people, God sends him to the Gentiles, a Jewish man to minister the gospel to the Gentiles. My goodness, that's what a shift that is. Because in time before that, they were not even to sit with Gentiles. They were not to eat with Gentiles. And now Paul is being called and minister to them. This was absolutely forbidden by the custom and the culture and the Jewish law. But the express will of God superseded the desire of man to remain in a place where God no longer resides. I pray for you today, my sisters and brothers, that you will shift with God. The cloud of glory has moved out of the Jewish synagogue, out of the conditions of man, out of the mandates of man, and the cloud is moving to where the will of God is. And so I'm asking you today to allow God to reveal to you his mystery concerning the women of God. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your manservant and your maidservant, amen, shall be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues and give utterance as the Spirit gives utterance. There is no doubt about it. This is the day of the woman. It hasn't just started. It started on the day of Pentecost. Glory be to God. We love you here in the studio, Ways of Glory, and we expect you to come back and join us once again tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. God bless you. We're praying for you. In Jesus' name, amen.